I'm delighted to be joined on the line by Brian Kennedy. Brian has a new book out about League of Ireland football called One Team, One Dream, One Friday Night. And Brian, thanks a million for joining us today.
Not a problem, Patrick. Delighted to be doing this. Delighted.
So, Brian, can you just tell us where did the idea of the book come about?
About 6 years ago, I done Just Follow the Floodlights, which is a well-received League of Ireland book, which is basically kind of the history of most clubs. Mm. And I wanted to do kind of a follow-up to it, but I wanted to try a different viewpoint. And a couple of lads I taught myself about, you know, many books that have actually been wrote by fans. So there's a good few League of Ireland books there about different clubs. But what I wanted to do is I thought, having wrote the first book from my own point of view, I thought, wouldn't it be fun to get a story, we say, from every Premier or First Division club in the league? And actually, as it turns out, a lot of clubs that aren't playing league football got back to me as well. And the stories would basically be told by the people who know the clubs the best, the fans. So it's a kind of a book by the fans, for the fans, so to speak. So I put it out there a while ago, I think maybe March of last year, and we got a great response, not only from the clubs that are currently playing League of Ireland football, but other clubs that weren't. So that's kind of where the idea came from.
Yeah, and just from reading the book, that's where the passion of the fans comes across. I'm thinking of one of the passages in the book. I think it was Brian Quigley. He was talking about Bray. And I love that passage because it was about fans and how the beauty and the love of the game was passed through generations.
Yeah, Brian's piece actually, I think it catalogues from his grandfather that initially went to games in the Carlisle grounds. The Carlisle grounds hasn't been around about 150 years, but yeah, it was a timeline of the family. And you see, that's something that I couldn't write because it's a personal thing to Brian, it's a personal thing to his family, and he mentions different headings in that piece. It's a really, really good piece, that Brave one, and it will resonate with a lot of fans who remember some of the things that he picks up on it as such, which again is a reason to say that if a fan is writing it for his own club, there's certain little details that he can bring across in the book that I wouldn't have been able to, as kind of an outsider, so to speak.
Yeah, and I'm just going to run through, if that's okay with you, Brian, a few, like, there's loads of different passages, and I was reading the passage about Galway United, and you have a great story in it about Galway playing a European game in Connemara, and it's very poignant and it was very relevant given what was happening with the Lee Miller situation. Could you maybe tell us how that came about? Galway played that game in Connemara. It was essentially more or less a GAA pitch.
Yeah, it's a good thing you mentioned, actually, Patrick, because of the Lee Miller saga at the moment, it is kind of relevant. But to try and put it, initially what happened, Galway had played, the first time they got into Europe was the season before. They finished runners-up, obviously, into Shamrock Rovers in the Cup and in the league. But they did a couple of journeys into Europe. The very first one was fine, there wasn't a problem. In terms of it was played in a sports ground in Galway, but the second game, the one we're on about, that's wrote in the book when they actually get drawn against Groningen, and the UEFA had decided that the sports ground that they had played in Galway wasn't up to scratch, and most Galway fans will tell you Terryland wasn't anywhere near up to scratch back in the mid-80s. So they were kind of caught with it. They were trying to band around different places to play the game, and it was kind of looking bleak for them. But there was a small Gael Irish community called Carignore, I think it's called, and they actually had a pitch, which I think it was the chair, the secretary of Galway at the time, spotted a loophole here. And the loophole was that the ground was used for Gaelic, but also for soccer. It was a multi-purpose ground. So because it was a multi-purpose ground and not technically a GAA ground, they could host it. It was a small little loophole, so to speak. And they managed to get the game against Groningen, and they had lost the first leg 5-1. They weren't going to go through. But there's some lovely little stories in it. I think that I actually kind of wrote that piece myself with the help of people from Galway. And the kind of the The hospitality suite, so to speak, quote unquote, was basically the back of a lorry that was parked up just beside the ground, and they served tea and sandwiches to everybody.
Yeah.
And it was a real kind of you know, back to the days of kind of having nothing, so to speak. But it is very relevant, and it's a very good chapter in the book.
Yeah.
And shows that at the time, as I said, there was a loophole, but there was a couple of lads that had played, I think, from Galway, who also played GAA and got a bit of sick for it. But it's a very interesting, not only as a Galway United supporter, but as a League of Ireland supporter, it's a very interesting chapter in the book.
Yeah. And Waterford, I know Waterford is the team that you support. So there's a very interesting chapter there about the time Bobby Charlton, which is unbelievable, such an icon. He came and played, had a little cameo for Waterford. It's a remarkable story.
He did, actually. Just going back, in the first game might have been against Finn Harps, and it was just a guy that I know well, actually, over in England now, was working in an estate agent over here. He was actually a United fan, and the story is kind of like he went to the Stretford End and adored Charlton, but and always wanted to meet him, have a chat with him. And astonishingly, it came one Sunday afternoon in a downpour of rain in Kilcone Park that he met his idol, and of course it was Bobby Charlton who had come to play for Waterford. And even now it resonates when you think about it, Patrick. It was a World Cup winner playing for Waterford at the time. It was astonishing, actually, when you think about it. And he stayed for about maybe 4 or 5 games, and he scored maybe the first game he played. And it was around that period further on from that, I think Gordon Banks came over here and played as well. I know Trevor Brooken played down from Cork City, and a couple of English ex players and some World Cup winners that came over. Of course, George Best came over and played for Cork Celtic as well. I would say Blues fans of the age of maybe the 50s and 60s would probably remember Charlton playing when he came over here.
Yeah, and in the book, was it important? It's 40 stories, but it's also the stories from you feature teams like Kildare County and Kilkenny. Was that an important part for you to kind of not just include the Premier League and First Division, but teams that are kind of gone?
Yeah, that was very important to me, Patrick. And one of them, actually, it's so strange. We launched a book in about 8 or 9 different places throughout Ireland. We actually ended up going back to Newcastle West a couple of times. We had a kind of a launch up there, and I was invited back by the team. They're very nice. Of course, Newcastle West played from 85 to 90 in the league. The Kildare County chapter is poignant in respect because it tells of their very last game in the very last season in the First Division. They went underneath, and I think just before the last game against, which was home to Shelburne, the board of directors had kind of resigned. Everything was gone, and it was looking at a point where they weren't even going to be able to fulfil the very last fixture, even though they ended up kind of going out of existence. And the final four line, which is a brilliant chapter book by Steve Taylor, basically tells how the fans managed to get everybody together, including the players, and making sure the referees are there, people that looked after the ground. And it was a massive attempt by the supporters club to make sure that very last game took place just for record's sake, and not to have it kind of like a 3-0 win to Shelburne. Now, as it turns out, Shelburne won the game 6-1 anyway, and Kildare kind of went out of their business after that. So that's a story that people of those that Kildare County remember. Kilkenny City, I used to love going up to Buckley Park. That was a lovely little ground. We had some great rivals, some great derbies between yourselves and Waterford.
Yeah.
You know, alas, Kilkenny City have gone as well. Monaghan United is a superb. Adrian Hart does an A to Z of Monaghan United. Very witty, very informative.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people remember the Mons, of course, from their period in League of Ireland football, which is substantially longer than what Kildare's and Newcastle West would be. But it was very important to put in teams that, okay, they're not playing League of Ireland football now, but a lot of people will remember what I wrote about them in the book. So I was delighted to get people like that, teams getting back to me that unfortunately aren't playing League of Ireland football anymore.
Yeah, and for people that want to get their hands on the book, what's the best avenue to try and get their hands on it?
Yeah, the best way of making sure that you'd be able to get it would be to go to the FAI's website, which was it's FAIshop.com. There's some books there you'll be able to get them at faishop.com. I would advise you, because they're going quickly. If anybody wants any information on, we are going to have a few more launches to go around the place, but the books and what we're planning, then you can go to www.briankennedywriter.com, and that gives you the update on that. And you know, we're still out there, we're still making sure we can go to some places. There's a reprint probably in the works at this stage, but I do want to thank everybody who's liked or shared a Twitter post or on Facebook, has bought the book, told their friends about it, because it's been a real word of mouth book. Yeah. And I am lucky in a respect that, because it just Following the Footlights had done so well for me, that gave me that little bit of leg up for this book.
Yeah, no, it is a great read. One Team, One Dream, One Friday Night, and it's highly recommended. Before I let you go, Brian, I know you're a Waterford fan. It's been a good season so far, so Shamrock Rovers are coming strong, competing. Do you think Waterford can hold off and get that third place in that Europa League spot?
Yeah, I tell you, if you'd asked me before the Shamrock Rovers game when we were 7 points clear, I would say possibly. Of course, we lost to Rovers against Limerick last week. There's a point in it now. I suppose the pundits would say that a bit more of experiences with Rovers and they might take, but to be completely honest, with you, when the fixtures came out and the first year in the season, I said, let's get the 36, 37 points to make sure we're going to
stay up. Yeah.
It's a bonus where we are at the moment. It would be lovely to play. We haven't played at European football in 31 years. I'm hoping, touch wood, that they'll be able to, you know, keep that little bit ahead of Rovers and clinch that third spot. It would be great for the city.
Yeah, listen, Brian, I really appreciate you taking the time to talk to us. It's a cracking read and strongly recommended. So thanks again for joining us.